profound is this to hear, just like Peter and Andrew, to hear and respond to Jesus' invitation. His charge to me and to you, come follow me, and to walk in the kingdom of God into the company of Jesus from wherever we presently are. I've really been enjoying Darcy's teaching through Acts. I like this book, but at the same time, I must say that it sure also feels like a thorn in my flesh sometimes, or nails on my couch. I'll explain what I mean with one of my favorite verses, which is in Acts 10:38. And we won't share yet. I'll just read it first, and I think Dorothy is next to read a few more, but I'll let you know, Dorothy. So my favorite verse is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The context here is that Peter has just arrived at the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion. Cornelius is described as devout and God-fearing, as someone who gives generously to those in need, and who prays to God regularly, a great guy. Cornelius had seen an angel who told him to send for Peter, and that's what he did, at once. But Cornelius didn't just send for Peter. He has now also called together his relatives and close friends, and they're all waiting in the living room. I'm sure there was food and laughter, curiosity, and perhaps also some anxiousness and insecurity. It sounds kind of like an Alpha Course evening. So Dorothy, would you please read Acts 10:36-38? This is what Peter now says to the group.
Peter says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him."
Thank you, Dorothy. And Peter goes on about how Jesus was killed, but then raised again from the dead by God on the third day. He talks about how he and his friends are witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, because not only did they see Jesus, but they also ate and drank with him after he rose. And that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. But it is verse 38 that for probably about 2 years now draws me in. It's almost become like an invitation. Like Jesus, like I guess the wave, Jesus waving us over too and inviting us to join him. Come with me, follow me. I'd like you to come around with me. I'd like you to come around with me, doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil, freeing all who need and want to be set free today too. For I, Jesus, am with you, and God our Father is with us. Just like we sang in our first song this morning, Jesus invites first us, but then also together with us, other people too. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. But how exactly? What does that look like? And maybe just a quick side note on this phrase, under the power of the devil. That stirs the pot a bit, doesn't it? Perhaps it brings up some questions. It sure does for me, or pushback, fear, doubts, shame. I encourage you to make a mental note for now. We can talk more after. Right now, I would just like to leave that sitting on the table and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who wants to see and set us free, who has already freed us, and who continues to free us from whatever hold or grip something else may have on us. Let's take a look, one last one, at this verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Making sure that we all know this verse by heart after today. They are all working together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in and through each other, heaven at work on earth, in one giant exchange. It's kind of cool. Father and Holy Spirit with and in Jesus, and Jesus in the Holy Spirit with the Father. And what's even cooler is that we are invited to participate. Jesus wants us involved, each one of us. We too are invited into his work to bring heaven to earth. But what does that look like practically in the line at the post office on Monday, at work, in our homes? What exactly is my, what is our part in all this, and what is and can only be God's? Take Peter, for example. He's the first one ever to hear Jesus call, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out." And at once, he walks off the beach into the kingdom of God, into being close to Jesus. And in a fairly short time, just about 3 years, he goes from unschooled, ordinary fisherman to, in Jesus' name, healing a lame man by the temple steps. That's pretty big. He then explains all this to the amazed onlookers and finally leaves the Sanhedrin speechless, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law, the great assembly in Jerusalem, speechless, astonished. They still see the unschooled, ordinary man in Peter, which is precisely why they are so perplexed by his courage. What is so astonishing to them is that they also see something else in him, or someone else. Acts 4:13 says they took note that Peter had been with Jesus. They see Jesus in Peter and Peter in Jesus. Peter has become part of what the Trinity is doing on earth. It's kind of amazing. Can we as well? What if Jesus invites you and I too? I think he does. Come, follow me, fresh again today. I wonder if not Peter, the day he and John were on their way to prayer at the temple, that precise moment that this beggar asked them for money, I wonder if not Peter too, in that moment, heard Jesus say again, "Come, follow me, trust me, there's something more than coins I want to give this man today." There are two stories that have really come to life for me lately. It's this one from Acts 3, and Darcy preached on it before Christmas. Maybe if anyone is interested, worth a listen again. It was really good. But there's a ton more that has opened up for me in it. It's really rich. And the other one is the feeding of the 5,000. Both these stories poke me a little and also really encourage me to press in, to pay attention to how God may invite me and us today to participate in his work with the people we are connected to, the people we cross paths with. So let's take a look at the first bit of the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14, and I think Stuart is up next. Sorry, Stu. Before you start, just a quick note for context. King Herod has just ordered the beheading of John the Baptist. And as we read, I invite you to pay attention to what phrase or verse may perhaps jump out at you, spark something. Thanks, Stuart. Now you can go.
Thanks. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat."
Thank you, Stuart. Is there any verse or phrase or word that anybody would like to share? Anything stick out to you?
For me, Claudia, the what Stuart read, verse 15, the disciples saying, "Hey, you know what? We're too busy. We have enough on our plates. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves food." And then Jesus challenging them by saying, "You provide for them." And that's very, very convicting and challenging.
Yeah, I was going to say just that part. I wonder what that would have been like for the disciples. You know, it's like, wow, thousands of people. And it's like, oh, it's getting late. Like, they need to eat. Jesus, like, we got to send them away. And he's like, no, no. You feed them. And I'd be like, okay, well, can we find someone who has, like, a catering business or something?
Because, I
like, yeah. What's that?
Jimmy is a very, very good cook.
Oh, yeah, maybe we could ask Jimmy and Shannon.
The executive chef, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I would just be astounded, like, how, what do you mean, Jesus? You know, like, how in the world are we supposed to do this? This is impossible. That's what I think that's what I would have thought.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Anyone else?
Yeah, one more for me was in verse...
Go ahead, Steve.
Verse 13. Oh, who am I competing with? Oh, Elisa, please. It's all you. Okay, all right. Age first, I get it. It's verse 13 where you have the words withdrew and privately and solitary. And I hadn't noticed before the three of those words which to me suggest he really didn't want to be with a crowd at all. What he wanted was to be by himself.
That stood out to me too, Stu. We're thinking on the same wavelength. And I was thinking about, I've never thought about this story in the context of Jesus coming off of the death of his cousin. So that's interesting too.
This was the scene in the I Am song that jumped out to me, was the woman's expression when that basket of fish was there. She was like, wow, really? Just astounded, and almost that she would have been ashamed or like that it was diverted. That instead of shame, she was like lifted up and, you know, one small gift was just multiplied, and she was like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that how different people pick up on different things and it all comes together. It's anyone else? Like I resonate with all of you, and I think Anna Marie, I need to look for that woman's face again in the song. yeah, it looks like Jesus has been healing sick people all day long. Until evening. It's one of those Acts 10:38 days, it seems. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. It's one of those days. From the Gospel of John, we get a few more details on this dinner time moment. And I think Richard is up to read John 6:5-9.
Absolutely, Claudia. John 6:5-9, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he had already in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?
Thank you, Richard. So let's freeze this scene for a minute. Jesus had actually needed some quiet, like Elisa and Stu picked up on. He wanted a solitary place after hearing that John had been beheaded. And now crowds by the thousands come after him and says he's moved by compassion and heals their sick all day long, it seems. And suddenly it's way past dinner time and the disciples come up with a plan. This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus says, they do not need to go away. He could have said, I can feed them, but he says, you give them something to eat. Jesus wants the people to stay and eat and be satisfied. And he invites his disciples to participate. You give them, he says. But how, Jesus? We don't have anything to give. We don't have what it takes. Philip is overwhelmed. This is way too expensive. Andrew is trying at least. He notices the little boy who wants to donate his lunch, but it seems like a drop in the bucket. He is also overwhelmed by the need of so many people. I would be too. Jesus, we don't know how. The job is too big. It seems impossible. And perhaps that's part of his point. But then if Jesus had wanted to put them in their place, show them that it was impossible for them and how only God alone could make this happen, Jesus could have come up with a different kind of miracle. Manna from heaven, perhaps, or swarms of quail, or something totally out of the box. But he didn't need any help. But Jesus wants them involved. He delights in including us, working in and through us. Come close, he says. You do it. Well, thank God for this kid. Perhaps this little boy hung out nearby and overheard the conversation. And now he walks up to them, holds out his lunch, and says, I can help. I can help bring the kingdom of heaven to earth with you. And if he can, I think we all can. Jesus must have been so thrilled. This little guy could have kept his mouth shut and quietly eaten his loaves himself. Or he could have been super kind and shared with those around him. But instead, he decides to give his barley loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. Can you see Jesus smile, his heart full of deep and exuberant joy, maybe even jump a beat? Richard, do you have the image? Because I think if I try to share the same thing, it will be small. Are you able to share the image that I sent?
Oh, yes. Can you just give me 10 seconds? I'll just...
No, that's fine. So yeah, back to Jesus, like imagine him smiling, being super happy about this boy. Can you see him wink? Coming up, those who have the storybook, the Jesus storybook Bible, they may have seen this before. I love how Jesus's arm is around the boy, how he smiles humbly and happily, and how Jesus winks at him. I think that's really, really special. Okay, thanks, Richard. Yeah, Jesus says, I can work with this. Here's someone who trusts me, someone with the kind of faith I'm looking for. This is all that I need to bring heaven to earth. Come to me, bring what you have to me. It doesn't matter how little it seems, and we'll work together. So let's finish the story. Matt, would you please read the last 3 verses from, I think it's, yeah, Matthew 14.
Sure. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, Jesus says, you give them something to eat by bringing what you have to me. And this is how we work miracles together. I would like to take a moment right now and invite all of us to just be like this kid. Offer not barley loaves, but a quiet prayer. I invite you to ask Jesus to help you think of someone right now who perhaps is in need, and simply pay attention to who comes to mind. Jesus, is there someone we know who needs you? And what is it that this person needs? And if you like, just pray that back to Jesus. He delights in doing this together with you. Do they need to know your grace? How much you love them? Do they need your healing touch on body, soul, and spirit? Do they need to find freedom, perhaps, in you? And one thing we can always pray is this. Heavenly Father, I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done in this person's life as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for inviting us to participate with you. Thank you for how you receive our prayers, receive our hearts, receive our friends, just like you received those 5 small loaves and 2 small fish from a wonderful kid. Thank you for how you, just like you did with the bread, for how you hold our prayers up to heaven too. Give thanks for us and those we pray for, and for how you delight in bringing heaven to earth in us, with us, and through us. Amen. I had one of those barley loaf prayer moments not too long ago. Peter and I had taken our road bikes around, I think we parked at Park Royal and then went around Stanley Park and Falls Creek, and then we're on our way back towards the car going over the Lionsgate Bridge. And there are these 2 big bridge posts where the bike path on the right side goes to the left of the big post, and the footpath to walk on is going around the post on the right side. And so we just passed the first post, and I noticed in the last second that there were legs on the ground, like somebody was lying there. And it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, what's going on with that? And it just felt wrong. I was already past, but everything in me went like, this feels so wrong to not stop, to ignore. And at the same time, I realized, well, there's nothing I have. Like, I didn't have any money. There was, the only thing that I had on me was my water bottle, which nobody would want to drink out of, nobody else. And Peter was already past, way ahead, and it was kind of our day, and yeah, realizing I can't do anything anyway. So I had this battle going on in my head, and it did remind me, I think I heard once about the rich man and the Lazarus at his doorstep story, that the rich man didn't do anything bad, he just ignored him. And so it was this sense of, I cannot ignore this, but I don't know what to do. So all I knew was, okay, I have to turn around and bike back. And that was challenging because it's one way, so there's people coming at me, and I'm thinking they're probably upset with me because everybody knows shouldn't go that wrong way. But so I went back and got off my bike and stood there for a moment, and I didn't know if he was alive, if he was sleeping, what state he was in. I wasn't comfortable trying to touch him and possibly freak him out. But also, I don't know, it was a ton of stuff going on in my head. And I just felt this deep, the overwhelmed at the need. Like, I don't know what to do, but this is also not something I can just not do anything about. So that tension. And I think I did pray while I was there looking at him. I knelt down and prayed for him and just like went back on my bike and kept biking and I don't know, yeah, was really still wrestling with this. Like it really did, it moved me, it had moved me, and it felt so utterly insufficient. And while I'm biking down the bridge, I'm thinking, okay, but this, what else could I have done? Like, there was nothing. Like, the idea of the Good Samaritan myth is donkey. I didn't, like, yeah, couldn't. Anyway, there was nothing to do. So I kept praying for him. At the bottom of the bridge, I tried to find someone. There was, in the end, I found a, there was a tow truck driver waiting there. And I went up to him and said, there's someone by the bridge post on the bridge. I don't know what to do. I don't know if he's dead or alive. He may need help. And the tow truck driver offered to contact his dispatch on the other side. And anyway, I left it with him and we kept biking. Ended up stopping at Amberside, had some lunch there, which wasn't much longer, much later. And all of a sudden we sit there and Peter says, oh, look, there's, must have been an accident on the bridge. There's an ambulance and a fire truck. And I don't know, it was this moment of, oh, what if this is because of the tow truck driver who contacted the dispatch person and now they're coming for him? And I don't know. It could have been an accident and could have had nothing to do with it. But it was one of those moments where it's like, okay, I gave what I had, which was next to nothing, but it was something, I guess, connecting to heaven in a way. And there was a good person in a tow truck, and there may have come ambulance and fire truck for him to do whatever they were able to do. So it, I felt a peace at that point to leave it in God's hands and to just trust that he does the rest, and that it was the right thing to not ignore, which I fought so hard, like this tension. I think that's kind of what I took away from that day, was that one thing, when we don't even have barley loaves to give, that one thing we can always bring to Jesus is our heart in prayer and to trust him to do the rest. Oh no, now there's a phone call. I'll just hang up. Let me come back to Peter for a minute. My moment on the Lionsgate Bridge reminded me a bit of Peter and his Acts 3 moment by the Temple Gate. It stopped me in my tracks. Like Peter and John would have maybe.
Hi, I'm here. Oh, no.
Oh my goodness. Never happens of it on Sunday morning. Sorry. The moment on the bridge was this, in hindsight, I think the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks and showed me I have nothing to give, but that was okay. And I did think of that moment of Peter and John walking up to the temple and being stopped in their tracks, only that Peter reaches out his hand and heals the man, and all I can do that day is pray. It was a moment that left me longing for so much more. For this very man who's lying there on the ground in front of me, but he also represents so many others, doesn't he? And then what about the people in Squamish, in our neighborhoods, those we know, and so many more we don't know? What if we had a healing like this happen at the high school or Don Ross, the kingdom of God in all its glory and power on display? What am I missing, perhaps? Why can't we be more like Peter, like Jesus? And yes, there was also the accuser's voice yapping in my ear. Look at you, you can't do anything. Well, yes, in a way that is actually true, and yet it's not. Praying is not nothing, it's something. And just like 5 barley loaves, it's enough for heaven to work with. And that moment, it was all I had. And I think the invitation is to trust that bringing what we have is enough. We are enough. Jesus says, bring what you have to me and I will add the rest. Heaven loves to wink at us. And there's one other thing that I realized again in a fresh way, that not every moment is a healing moment. I want to have faith, and I think we're all invited to have faith and expect God's miracles, but I also need to learn patience and long suffering, and all of it hold, and in all of it hold on to God no matter what. Think about the lame man by the temple gate. He was over 40 years old. I wonder if he himself and others too had prayed for healing before. I'm sure his parents did. He was lame from birth. His mom had probably prayed for all those 40 years. Were they disappointed? I bet. Did they give up on God, on healing? We don't know. I hope not. The man's parents may have been even dead already by the time that he was healed that day. Whether or not they ever got to see the results, the prayers they offered did get answered. And that actually in the most amazing way, the day it did happen. The healing that day sparked a huge fire. It's so fascinating when you read on in Acts into the next chapter. God had set this man apart for something very special. That day was his moment, not only to walk and jump into the kingdom of God, but also to become the center of a much bigger miracle. His healing amazes so many others around that Peter has them be all ears for his speech. And in the end, 5,000 people turn their hearts and lives to Jesus because of it all. And I think I only realized, I think on Thursday, that it's 5,000 again. Let's keep holding on to Jesus and learn to catch these sacred moments. Whether he says, you give them something to eat, or shh, wait, not yet. Trust me. Come away with me and pray with me. With Jesus, there are barley loaf moments and store shopping moments, many of those. There's quiet prayer moments and miraculous healing moments. And yes, we can, and I think we want to ask for more of those. But then also leave the results with him and trust. We can trust that God is faithful to his promises to hear and answer our prayers. We can also trust in his wisdom, in his power, and also and always in his goodness. There are moments of being loved out of the deepest pit of despair and being rescued moments, breaking bread together moments, moments of celebration, great joy, and dancing. There are foot washing moments and even cross hanging moments. There's no recipe, there's no technique. Each of our journeys looks very different and beautifully unique, and God delights in who he made you and I to be. He comes to each of us wherever we are, again and again, and invites us fresh. Come follow me, and I will send you out. And I sure am coming with you wherever you go, for I am with you. I'm holding on to you. Keep holding on to me too, and let's do together what we see our Father doing. Amen.